Chapter 54. Just before the normal door closing time, Frypan prepared one last meal to carry them through the night. The mood hanging over the gladers as they ate couldn't have been more somber or sodden with fear. Thomas found himself sitting next to Chuck, absently picking at his food.
"So, Thomas,"
the boy said through a huge bite of mashed potatoes,
"who am I nicknamed after?"
Thomas couldn't help shaking his head. Here they were, about to embark on probably the most dangerous task of their lives, and Chuck was curious where he'd gotten his nickname.
"I don't know. Darwin, maybe? The dude who figured out evolution? I bet no one's ever called him a dude before."
Chuck took another big bite and seemed to think that was the best time to talk, full mouth and all.
"You know, I'm really not all that scared. I mean, last few nights, sitting in the homestead, just waiting for a griever to come in and steal one of us was the worst thing I've ever done. At least now, we're taking it to them, trying something. And at least..."
"At least what?" Thomas asked. He didn't believe for a second that Chuck wasn't scared. It almost hurt to see him acting brave.
"Well, everyone's speculating they can only kill one of us. Maybe I sound like a shuck, but it gives me some hope. At least most of us will make it through. Just leaves one poor sucker to die. Better than all of us."
It made Thomas sick to think people were hanging on to that hope of just one person dying. The more he thought about it, the less he believed it was true. The creators knew the plan. They might reprogram the grievers. But even false hope was better than nothing.
"Maybe we can all make it. As long as everyone fights."
Chuck stopped stuffing his face for a second and looked at Thomas carefully.
"You really think that? Or you're just trying to cheer me up?"
"We can do it." Thomas ate his last bite, took a big drink of water. He'd never felt like such a liar in his life. People were going to die. But he was going to do everything possible to make sure Chuck wasn't one of them. And Teresa.
"Don't forget my promise. You can still plan on it."
Chuck frowned.
"Big deal. I keep hearing the world is in clunky shape."
"Hey, maybe so. But we'll find the people who care about us. You'll see." Chuck stood up.
"Well, I don't want to think about it," he announced. "Just get me out of the maze, and I'll be one happy dude."
"Good that," Thomas agreed. A commotion from the other tables caught his attention. Newt and Albie were gathering the gladers, telling everyone it was time to go. Albie seemed mostly himself, but Thomas still worried about the guy's mental state. In Thomas's mind, Newt was in charge, but he could also be a loose cannon sometimes. The icy fear and panic Thomas had experienced so often the last few days swept over him once again in full force. This was it. They were going. Trying not to think about it, to just act, he grabbed his backpack. Chuck did the same, and they headed for the west door, the one leading to the cliff. Thomas found Minho and Teresa talking to each other near the left side of the door, going over the hastily made plans to enter the escape code once they got into the hole.
"You shanks ready?" Minho asked when they came up.
"Thomas, this was all your idea, so it better work. If not, I'll kill you before the grievers can."
"Thanks," Thomas said. But he couldn't shake the twisting feeling in his gut. What if somehow he was wrong? What if the memories he'd had were false ones, planted somehow? The thought terrified him, and he pushed it aside. There was no going back. He looked at Teresa, who shifted from foot to foot, wringing her hands.
"You okay?" he asked.
"I'm fine,"
she answered with a small smile, clearly not fine at all.
"Just anxious to get it over with."
"Amen, sister," Minho said.
He looked the calmest to Thomas, the most confident, the least scared. Thomas envied him. When Newt finally had everyone gathered, he called for quiet, and Thomas turned to hear what he had to say.
"There's 41 of us."
He pulled the backpack he was holding onto his shoulders and hoisted a thick wooden pole with barbed wire wrapped around its tip. The thing looked deadly.
"Make sure you've got your weapons. Other than that, isn't a whole lot to bug and say. You've all been told the plan. We're going to fight our way through to the griever hole, And Tommy here's gonna punch in his little magic code, and then we're gonna get payback on the creators. Simple as that.
Thomas barely heard Newt, having seen Albie sulking over to the side, away from the main group of the gladers, alone. Albie picked at the string of his bow while he stared at the ground. A quiver of arrows hung over his shoulder. Thomas felt a rising tide of worry that somehow Albie was unstable, that somehow he'd screw everything up. He decided to watch him carefully if he could.
"Shouldn't someone give a pep talk or something?" Minho asked, pulling Thomas's attention away from Albie.
"Go ahead," Newt replied.
Minho nodded and faced the crowd.
"Be careful," he said dryly. "Don't die."
Thomas would have laughed if he could, but he was too scared for it to come out.
"Great, we're all bloody inspired,"
Newt answered, then pointed over his shoulder toward the maze.
"You all know the plan. After 2 years of being treated like mice, tonight we're making a stand. Tonight we're taking the fight back to the creators, no matter what we have to go through to get there. Tonight, the grievers better be scared."
Someone cheered, and then someone else. Soon shouts and battle calls broke out, rising in volume, filling the air like thunder. Thomas felt a trickle of courage inside him. He grasped it, clung to it, urged it to grow. Newt was right. Tonight, they'd fight. Tonight, they'd make their stand, once and for all. Thomas was ready. He roared with the other gladers. He knew they should probably be quiet, not bring any more attention to themselves, but he didn't care. The game was on. Newt thrust his weapon into the air and yelled,
"Hear that, creators! We're coming!"
And with that, he turned and ran into the maze, his limp barely noticeable, into the gray air that seemed darker than the glade, full of shadows and blackness. The gladers around Thomas, still cheering, picked up their weapons and ran after him, even Albie. Thomas followed, falling into line between Teresa and Chuck, hefting a big wooden spear with a knife tied to its tip. The sudden feeling of responsibility for his friends almost overwhelmed him, made it hard to run. But he kept going, determined to win. "You can do this," he thought. "Just make it to that hole."